105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another BizConnect radio show. It's lovely to be back on the airwaves after a half-term break. We've got, as always, two super guests in the studio with us today. In fact, I'm going to turn to them right now and ask them to introduce themselves. So on my right, we have
Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring in Maidstone.
Lovely to have you with us today, AD.
Thank you.
And to my left,
hello, I'm Ali Young, and I have my own law firm, Ali Young Law, which specialises in helping business owners.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for coming in today. So I think that kind of sets the theme for today, really. We're going to be touching on the kind of the specialist help available for businesses who are perhaps going under a bit of pressure at the moment in terms of, you know, trading and keeping their heads above water with the cost of living crisis. But we're also going to be offering some best practice advice, legal advice through Ali for business owners who might perhaps be thinking about selling their business, somebody that might be thinking about buying a business, and also some of the common mistakes that people make in business today that perhaps might lead to some kind of litigation. So full of advice, hopefully, and practical tips today. So do stay with us. We're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Adrian. See you after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today. As we were saying before that fantastic song from Blondie, we've got two super guests in the studio with us. We have Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency, and we have the effervescent Ali Young from Ali Young Law. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
And as we were saying before the break, the theme today is very much about offering some best practice and very much sort of practical advice for business owners at the moment, whether it be a kind of a legal question or perhaps, you know, more fundamentally a sort of business survival, business kind of trading related question. And on that note, Adrian, I'd like to start with you if we can. You often kind of refer to yourself self-mockingly as the Grim Reaper, but obviously I've known you for a number of years. I know you a lot better than that. For the benefit of everybody listening, just please give us an introduction to the Opus Business Advisory Group on a more kind of general level, but also your role as a partner specifically within the restructuring and insolvency team.
Yes, thank you for that. I do get called that every now and again, but that perception is changing, thankfully. So I'm a partner at Opus Restructuring. We're a nationwide boutique firm, and we offer a wide range of services, obviously including my specialism, insolvency and restructuring, forensic accounting, and asset-based lending, and corporate finance. Obviously at this moment in time, we are in a difficult situation in regards to the economy. And as I've said before in my previous appearance on this show, this is an opportunity for people to know that there is help out there.
Fantastic. Okay, so thinking specifically about what you do, what do we actually mean by restructuring and insolvency? I mean, fundamentally, you know, what are the differences between the two?
Well, in terms of restructuring, that means there's a potential survival of the business in some shape or form going forward, whether that means restructuring the debt over a longer period or finding some new finance to take the business out of its current difficulties, as opposed to insolvency, which essentially means a liquidation, ceasing to trade, shutdown, but we like to think that would be our last resort. You know, a liquidation. If there's a possibility that we could turn the business around and restructure it in some shape or form, then we would obviously prefer to go down that route. But obviously there are situations which in inevitable the only option would be liquidation.
So fundamentally your starting point is always, what can we do to keep this business going?
Correct.
You know, is there an opportunity to save jobs, you know, to look after the shareholder value within the business?
Yep.
Who is your loyalty to ultimately? Is it to the creditors? How does it all work?
Ultimately, at the beginning, our responsibility are to the directors, the business owners.
Mm-hmm.
As to what options they've got available to them, their responsibilities as directors, but if we go down a certain route, whether that's an administration or liquidation, then we do have our duty is then obviously to the creditors to get the best return that's available to them.
Okay, I see. So you're starting off. Very much working with the directors of the business to look at the opportunities for kind of restructuring. If it becomes an insolvency scenario further down the line, then you're there to really look after the interests of the creditors.
Correct, yes.
And make sure that they get paid in the first instance.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, how and when does a business come to you in the first instance? You know, how does it work? Will a director, you know, a finance director, for example, within a business, will they pick up the phone and say, Adrian, need you to come in, need to have a chat with you? Will it be a firm of accountants that act on behalf of that firm that have noticed something untoward and they pick up the phone? How does it even work, Adrian?
Yeah, that's probably towards the latter of what you just said, that it comes through a referral from their professional advisors, whether that's accountants, their lawyers, or indeed their bankers as well.
Mm.
Sometimes we do get a direct contact. They find us obviously through through the internet. And the first port of call is really that they've overcome that hurdle of accepting that there is a situation that they need help with.
Mm. That is a really good point, isn't it? And Ali, in your experience, is there a is there often a sort of a denial in businesses in terms of, you know, the state of the business and the problems that the business is facing? Is that a real issue?
Yeah, well, you're sort of stealing my thunder for later, really. But, you know, something I come across so often is a lack of understanding or knowledge of what state the business is actually in.
Mm.
I made this mistake myself in business in the early days. I didn't have good management accounts. So I relied upon the annual account report that comes from my accountant. But, of course, that's several months down the line, sometimes nearly a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something going wrong in your business, you need to know about it sooner than that.
Yeah, so access to kind of real-time information, obviously.
Yeah.
So, AD, I mean, when you go to a meeting, you know, when you're, you know, when ultimately, you know, the meeting's been arranged and there is a clearly a problem that needs to be discussed. Have you got some kind of forewarning about what the potential problems might be in the business? Is that shared in advance so that you can kind of prepare and kind of go with a strategy, kind of ready, prepared to discuss, or does it just sort of come out in the meeting and it all sort of gets laid on the table? And
well, probably a bit of both, actually, because I do have a criteria where I ask for certain information, and just as what Ali's alluded to there, more often than not, they haven't got any current financial information.
Really,
it's really historic, and it kind of like worries me. Right, when I look at it and I go in, I thought, right, okay, I need a snapshot of the business in terms of its assets and liabilities.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes can be a real struggle. And some business owners I've come across in the past think, well, I've got a bit of money in the bank. Mm. You know, I should be all right. I said, well, unfortunately, doesn't that necessarily mean that you're trading solvently just because you've got cash in the bank?
Mm.
So that is one of the things that we work with accountants, if they can produce some up-to-date, at least some management accounts, or even a trial balance, trial P&L. But yeah, that is one of our biggest hurdles that we need to address.
And you'll quite often be dealing with you know, pretty sizable turnover businesses.
Absolutely.
Who can't actually just furnish you with some real time.
No, absolutely.
Financial information.
I suppose one of our biggest skill sets, if you like, is that, you know, we've got to let the business owners talk and we've got to listen to them and tell us exactly what the situation is. and how and where they want to get to.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because I know that in the past I've dealt with directors that are simply because there's no appetite to carry on. You know, they're kind of like just completely worn out, and they just want some sort of clean exit out of the business.
Yeah. I guess that's if it's got to that stage. Ultimately, it's very difficult, isn't it? And I guess you need to be, you need to be a really good listener in that instance. And certainly in the absence of any kind of financial information, you're relying on them to be totally honest with you, aren't you, about the situation that they're in.
That's right.
Fantastic. Okay, brilliant. Look, I think what we'll do is we'll just kind of pause it there, if we can. We're going to play a little bit of music. When I come back, I'd like to talk some more about this. And kind of perhaps talk about some of the options that are open to business owners that that might find themselves in a difficult situation at the moment. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the BizConnect radio show this Monday afternoon. As always, we've got two super guests in the studio with us today. We've been talking with Adrian Dante, who is a partner at Opus Restructuring and Insolvency, part of the Opus Business Advisory Group. And we also have Ali Young with us from Ali Young Law. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Adrian, I'd like to carry on, if we can, where we left off in the first part of the show. I'd like to kind of dig deeper in terms of understanding some of the most common reasons businesses come to you for help. And is it simply often too late because they haven't read and understood the signs soon enough, perhaps?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's obviously a number of problems that can occur, whether it's loss of market, loss of income, bad management, but what we're seeing at the moment, more often than not, is real pressure on cash flow. And we've obviously got a situation at the moment where we've got different pressures from different directions all coming at the same time. And what we're seeing is the bounce back loans and the COVID recovery loans, which is putting huge pressure on businesses trying to repay. So these are good businesses essentially, but they're toyed with the increasing costs of having to absorb, and then having to repay obviously loans that kept the businesses alive during the COVID 2 years.
Is there any way of kind of That businesses should have foreseen that and kind of taken steps? I mean, what steps can you take?
It's a bit difficult, really, because obviously it's unprecedented. And so what we're encouraging business owners to do is obviously talk to their lenders in the first instance to see if they can restructure that debt over a longer period.
Because presumably, fundamentally, if a business still has a strong, order book, trading position, certainly on an overheads level, all businesses are being squeezed at the moment. But if fundamentally, the profitability is okay, that's being squeezed. But in terms of customers, the customer base is still there. Presumably, creditors will be more willing to kind of have a conversation.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's always difficult in business. Obviously, creditors, some can be, fairly accommodating. Others can be a little bit impatient, shall we say. Lenders and HMRC have been more than supportive over the last few years. But there'll come a time, and we're seeing it already, where, the screw's been tightened a little bit in terms of repayment. And that's where we come in to see if we can try and restructure that debt over a period of time with perhaps refinancing or through a formal insolvency procedure.
When you pick up the baton in that instance and say to the, to the directors, okay, look, this is where your kind of your loan exposure is within the business. Yep. Let us have a conversation with those creditors and see what their willingness is to perhaps extend the loan period.
That's a fair point. Yeah, we kind of test the water with them in terms of the most of the strategic suppliers and obviously the those that as I say, lenders, HMRC, that have got a big exposure. just to say, if there's a bit of an appetite to actually think about restructuring this debt, because we can show it's a viable business.
Yeah.
But it obviously just needs to be, it needs a bit more of a breathing space.
Because often business owners are incredibly reluctant, aren't they, to pick up the phone.
Yes.
And have those conversations themselves, but they're prepared to let you do that on their behalf.
I mean, we get situations where they've thrown more money in out of their own pocket, which is not a great idea, because it feels like it's, or it seems like, as if they're just thrown into a black hole. Or we'll pay the previous VAT off, or the previous couple of repayments on the loans. But I think, well, okay, so what happens now to the business? Mm. We've got to think about the future of the business and how it can survive.
Yeah, absolutely. So, give us some examples, some kind of good news examples of you know, where you've been engaged early enough and actually been able to help turn a business around, AD.
Yeah, well, we've been quite recently. I was appointed administrator of a group of companies in the drainage sector. We assessed the business. There was about 30 plus employees. They had a good order book. They got good clients, but unfortunately, was carrying a lot of debt from the COVID years, and that's both lending and HMRC. So with the creditor support, we repackaged that debt through a new company, all done with transparency and full disclosure. It's a term that people are familiar with. It's called a prepack administration, where a deal is done either with a third party or the incumbent management stroke directors to purchase back the business and assets and to continue trading. And of course, to a lot of people, that sounds a bit wrong, but it was done properly and with transparency, and creditors get a say in it, then it's perfectly fine.
So we're not talking about what people might be thinking in terms of a kind of a Phoenix company, which is a completely different scenario.
There's so many hurdles now that you have to jump through, or jump over, should I say, in terms of getting that procedure over the line. We have to, with this incumbent management, you have to get an evaluator's report. So an independent person has to look at it, you know, from a fresh point of view, and assess that whether or not that is the deal is the right way to go,
and that is a legally justifiable route to keeping the business going. Ultimately,
the other one what we got involved in quite recently was in the cosmetic industry, where we use the company voluntary arrangement route, which is essentially, it's a good business, obviously plenty of clients, but again carrying legacy debt. So we ring fence that debt, allow the business to continue to trade, and that the directors stay in control of that scenario, but as an insolvency practitioner stroke supervisor, we're in the background to make sure that company voluntary arrangement works. So it's essentially a contract between the business and its creditors. The downside of that, of course, is that creditors want the optimum return, which normally means at least a 5-year arrangement, which obviously in the current economic climate, it's very difficult to, certainly when it comes to cash flow and P&L, to predict what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks, let alone three months. So, but again, we build in flexibility into that. So, if things do start to go wrong, we can go back to the creditors, maybe to vary that arrangement in accordance with their wishes.
Yeah, and is it a given that, you know, creditors will ultimately get 100p back in the pound that they've lent to a business, or do they have to be flexible and be prepared to
compromise?
Yeah,
yeah. No, I mean, really, I mean, it's very rare that you'll get 100p. The pound back, but it's all about compromise. And if the creditors are satisfied that this is the only option, that this is going to be the only likelihood of the optimum return, then more often than not they will support that.
Yeah Well, that all seems incredibly useful information, you know, to me, in terms of, you know, possible routes that directors can take. Yeah. I know you offer something called a business stress test, and presumably the point of that is to overcome those initial kind of hurdles, yes, in terms of being wanting to pick up the phone but not being able to, and taking a kind of an objective view of a business before you go down a particular path. So just tell us about how that works.
Yeah, I mean, we look at we look at the numbers in terms of the financial information that's available, you know, in terms of the management structure. I mean, we do have access to specialist advisors that can come in and look at the productivity. We can look at it's not always about the financial side. We see businesses that are underperforming, and they're getting, as you say, they're getting stressed, but they don't realise that they have got a good business, but it's underperforming, not necessarily in a bad financial way.
Yeah.
They just, perhaps their sales volumes could be better than what it is, and that's when we can bring other people in to help them with that.
Mm-hmm. So for people that are kind of listening, for business owners, directors that are listening, what's the best way to kind of get in touch with you, Adrian, and have those kind of initial conversations?
I mean, we're always. Our website would be the obvious go-to point.
So that's opusllp.com.
Yes, www.
And there's a dedicated sort of restructuring and insolvency section within that.
Yeah, and also email me adrian.dante@opusllp.com.
Fantastic, great stuff, Adrian. Thank you so much for sharing all of that insight with us and that kind of first hand experience. I guess the message to all business owners is, act now, act sooner rather than later, because
yes,
the more sense of urgency there is, there the more chance ultimately, yep, you've got to do your job and create a positive outcome.
Yep,
fantastic, great. We're going to play a little bit more music. When we come back, Ali, we're going to have a chat about some of the more intricate details of commercial law, and perhaps give business owners some pointers there as well in terms of best practice and some of the areas that they should be focusing on. So do stay with us. We'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the second half of the Biz Connect radio show today, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm delighted that we're now going to talk with our second guest, and that is Ali Young from Ali Young Law. Ali, lovely to have you in the studio today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Your first time.
It is.
Is it your first time on the radio, or just your first time on our radio show?
On this station, yes.
Okay, so you're a pro, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Television next, hopefully.
TV. Fantastic. So tell us about the company that bears your name, Ali Young Law. How did that all come about? Tell us a little bit of background in terms of your career and why ultimately you decided it was time to set up your own practice.
I will, but I'll be quick. Don't want to give you War and Peace. So I've been a lawyer for 25 years. I did the traditional route of going to London and qualifying in a corporate law firm, and then didn't really enjoy that very much. So came back to Kent and landed on my feet working for the Port of Dover as their in-house counsel. On my first day, I had to put a hard hat on and steel-toe cap boots and climb up a gantry. And I thought, this is far more exciting drafting documents.
Forget those fancy London restaurants and that kind of cushy corporate life. I've made it.
I'm attached to an engineer by a chain. It was brilliant. So, yeah, I loved it. And then I moved to Eurotunnel, not far from here, and worked there for a few years. And then I won't bore you with the reasons why, but I ended up back in London in 2008 and was disappointed to find that not much had changed in traditional law firms since I'd been away in the 10 years that I'd been in-house. So I got stuck there for a bit, because we all know what happened in 2008, don't we? It was a little bit of a wobble then.
Yeah. Glad to be in employment and earning a living.
Exactly. So I sort of stuck it out for a few more years. But then in 2011, I thought, do you know what? I think I can probably just do this. So so I left and I went as a consultant. So I was a consultant for 10 years. And what that means is that I was working through umbrella companies. So they had the insurance and they had the SRA approval. And I just started my business sort of under that umbrella.
Okay.
And I worked like that quite happily for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then during COVID, like a lot of people, I had a little bit of a think about how my world was structured. And I thought, you know, I've been doing this long enough now. I think I know what I want to build. And what I want to build is a law firm that is specifically targeting the needs of sort of medium, small to medium sized business owners. So not the big corporates, not the big organisations, but, you know, the owner managed businesses, the backbone of the UK economy, who have a particular sort of need for really pragmatic legal advice. Mm. So, you know, they don't have massive legal budgets. They haven't got huge teams of people, but they're running successful businesses and they're working extremely hard. And they're not, they weren't particularly well served by law firms, in that a lot of the solutions that we offer are very involved and very intricate and a little bit over the top. And as a result, they're often also very expensive. So, I sort of really honed in on those businesses that need really sort of sensible, pragmatic. I know I use that word again, but, you know, I'm not going to build you a Rolls-Royce contract if all you need is a Fiat.
So practical day-to-day advice and contracts and templates, shareholders agreements, that all, terms and conditions, all that, that
the paperwork kind of thing. You know, I just sort of, the way I put it really is that, you know, my mission is to make sure that businesses have the paperwork they need to protect themselves and the advice and guidance that they need if they run into any difficulties. And it's all about prevention rather than cure. I don't like litigation. Apologies to my litigation colleagues, because what they do is phenomenal. But I've been involved in high value litigation. I was involved in a judicial review with one of my businesses that I worked in house for. And we won, but it took 2 years and we got our money back. But the directors weren't that impressed because they just thought we should never have had the money taken off us in the first place. So, you know, litigation is long-winded, highly risky, very expensive. So my goal and mission is always to keep people away from that, if at all humanly possible, and to find a sort of more simple solution. But, you know, it is about having that simple paperwork and that simple advice, and just making people feel, just like Adrian said, pick up the phone and talk about a problem rather than push it to one side and hope it'll go away. Because usually, you know, the expression nip it in the bud, that is something that can mostly be done with the things that arise for most businesses. But it's overwhelming at times. You know, there's so many different parts of running a business.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, today, you know, perhaps business owners, smaller business owners, think perhaps that they can, you know, perhaps download some of that, some of those documents, some of those templates from the internet, and just use that as the kind of basis for their.
Well, and do you know what? You might be surprised by what I'm about to say next, because do you know what? I'm not completely against that. You know, my view is something's better than nothing.
Right.
Obviously, I would prefer that a business invests in having someone like me draft something that's very bespoke and specific and unique. But there is a cost involved with that. I appreciate that. And sometimes even me at my very best rate is still unaffordable for some businesses. So
doing something in that instance is better than doing nothing.
Yeah, and you know, there's an organisation, I think you're aware of, the Federation of Small Businesses, you know, the FSB. I'm a local representative for the FSB in Dover, and for years I've signposted the FSB for smaller businesses that can't really afford me. And they have a legal hub and they have, you know, many, many templates on that.
Yes.
And they are very, very good quality and they're certainly better than nothing. There is help out there. Like Adrian was saying earlier, there is help out there. You're not on your own as a small business. We try our very best to help everybody. I can't help everybody. Adrian and I always have that discussion as well, because we'd like to sort of help every single business owner we come into contact with. But if we can't help, then we will always signpost something else. And just don't suffer in silence is always my motto.
So what would you say, Ali, in your experience, are some of the sort of perhaps your kind of top three mistakes that end up costing businesses the most money, potentially in litigation costs, or perhaps, you know, more fundamentally, a kind of a missed opportunity on a commercial level? What do you see as being the kind of the big mistakes that people make?
Well, I'm going to talk about my favourite contracts. So my absolutely favourite contract is a shareholder agreement. Mm. Now, that's only relevant if you have more than one owner in the business. So if you're a sole shareholder, sole director, you don't need to worry about this. But if you are in business with someone else, and even if that person is a member of your family, I would really like you to understand what the benefits of a shareholder agreement are. So this is a document that you can pull together with the help of someone like me, which will help govern and regulate your relationship throughout the entirety of your business journey together. So it will, and again, many people don't even understand that there's so many diverse areas that this can cover. So it's basically a prenup. So I would sit down with two business owners. I'd say, okay, look, these are the things that maybe are going to happen to you over the next 20, 30 years of your business journey. And some of them are things you can control. So some of them are how you manage your own relationship and whether you get on or you're falling out about things. But we can regulate that. Some of them will be things that you'll have no control over, death, illness. Sometimes people just change their minds and want to be moving on. And it's really possible to go through all of those different scenarios and put a plan in place through this agreement, so that when those things happen, you're not reeling around thinking, well, what do we do next? And you're not coming to someone like me at that point and going, okay, so what do we do now? And I say, have you got a shareholder agreement? And you go, no. And I go, oh dear. Because what that means is we've got to work our way through this stuff now, and we're working our way through it now you've fallen out.
Exactly.
And now it's not going to be
much
so
harder
easy.
To do post-event, whatever that is, than pre-event, I guess.
And then beyond that, you know, in my firm, we've really packaged this up now. We will also signpost you to the people that can then provide the insurance. So if you have got some mechanisms in your shareholder agreement for buying each other out, it's also completely possible to buy insurance to create that money. So you haven't got to wait. The money would be there. And then alongside that, I also recommend something that I've seen other law firms do. They'll probably all start copying me now. But it's a letter of wishes type thing, which will set out all the operational parts of the business. So even simple things like how many bank accounts you have, who your accountants are, where the login details are, who's doing what within that business. So that, you know, if something happens to one of the business owners, you can go to that document, pick it up, and it will give you the roadmap for how to carry on.
Business continuity. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Ali, we're going to take a break there. We're going to play a bit of music. When we come back, I'd like to dig into some of the kind of the advice that you can offer around perhaps selling a business or conversely buying a business. And also, I know you have a women's business networking group launching in Folkestone on Wednesday this week as well. So I want to talk a little bit about that, if we can get that in before the end of the show as well. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back to the final part of the Biz Connect radio show today, everybody. We've had a super show full of insight and practical advice for business owners at the moment. We're talking with Ali Young, and we were chatting before the break, Ali, about shareholder agreements and the importance of having those in place before you go into business, rather than trying to kind of create them retrospectively, perhaps when a problem arises. But I know a lot of, and Adrian will back me up on this, I know a lot of business owners have decided that, you know, post-COVID, being in business simply isn't for them anymore. And you can understand why, quite frankly, particularly with the kind of the cost of living crisis at the moment. So, Ali, what I'd like to do now, if we can, is talk about your advice to business owners if they're thinking about selling their business. What makes a saleable business, and how can business owners best prepare for a good outcome there ultimately?
Okay, so some of this will be a bit repetitive from the conversation with Adrian, but we are going to talk about financials again. Ultimately, that's what someone is buying, a profitable business. But you might find that there's something within your business, an asset, maybe a customer database, or a bit of IP that actually has more value to it than just the figures might demonstrate. And there might be another business that is interested in buying that from you. The second thing everyone really needs
That's
to...
That's a really good point, isn't it? You know, IP. Do you know, you may not even know that that IP exists in your business, but actually, for somebody looking to buy your business, that's what they're buying.
Absolutely, yeah. Or a customer database is another thing, you know, where a company really wants to scale quickly and they'll find a business that's similar to theirs that they can add their product into. So I see a lot of that. But yeah, whatever it is, or whatever the reason is that you're selling, get your business paperwork in order and your financials all up to date, because that's what they'll be looking at. They'll want to dig deep into all of that. You do need to also think about whether you're buying shares or selling shares or just the assets, because they're two very different processes. When you sell the shares of a company, everything goes across, so all the bad bits and all the good bits. When you're asset selling, you're just selling an asset, so you'd be left with the shares of the company. And some people prefer that route because there might be entrepreneur's relief to get cash out of that business. If you're buying, and I know you asked me about buying as well, so advice to buyers very briefly. If you're buying shares, you have to remember you're buying the good and the bad. So you really do need to do the due diligence into the business and ask all the questions, see all the paperwork. Really
see the shareholder agreement.
If there is one of those, yes, hopefully. Yeah, because that is exactly that, Martin. One of the things it can deal with is what happens in that scenario.
You may find yourself in partnership with the wife of someone who's got her own ideas about.
Never a good thing. So just make sure your housekeeping's up to date.
Yes.
And be very, very clear what you're buying.
And what you're selling.
What
I
you're
mean,
selling. Yeah.
I think that's really, really fundamental, isn't it? You know, what if we're looking to sell a business, are we selling it as a profitable going concern, and that's it, or actually is there something that kind of sits behind our business that is actually worth far more than you know, the bottom line, as it were, on a kind of on an annual basis?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Good. Now, Ali, I know you're very active in the business community. Obviously, you mentioned the FSB, you know, networking as well. But you also have a new group that's launching in Folkestone this Wednesday. So do tell us more about that.
I'm really excited about this. So I have a group of women who we've all come together, all local business women, just feeling that there was something missing in the area for women-led businesses. And we've been very lucky to have a woman who's been very instrumental in obtaining finance for women-led businesses, and she's moved to Folkestone from London, so she's brought all that knowledge with her.
Is that anyone we know?
Julia Elliott Brown. I don't know if that name rings a bell. So she runs Enter the Arena, which is geared towards raising finance, and women-led businesses are still very underrepresented in the financial markets, and investment is very low, and women have to jump through far many more hoops than men do, unfortunately. So so this is a new thing. We start on Wednesday night. We're launching. We've got 100 people coming already on the list. We hope they all turn up. And Julia's going to be giving a bit of a speech, and the rest of us are going to be all there sort of mentoring and networking and finding out what local women businesses would like in terms of support. So we don't know where it's going to end up, but we just thought we'd get a movement going and see where it took us.
Do you know Lisa Young at Let's Do Business Group?
Lisa's coming, hopefully on Wednesday. She's supporting us, which is fab.
I was going to say, that would be a really good...
And Lisa Highton, who runs the workshop in Folkestone, she's one of our founders. Uh-huh. She's, in fact, she's done all the work, so big shout out to Lisa if she's listening. Brilliant.
So how do we come along? It's on Wednesday evening at the Burlington.
It is. It's there's an Eventbrite link. Mm. I think we've just upped the numbers a little to allow a few more to come, so there could be some more tickets available.
Super.
So if you look for WMN Folkestone on Eventbrite, then you should be able to find it.
That sounds like a really, really cracking evening.
Thank you for letting me talk about that.
All credit to you. Coming back to you, in terms of the advice that you offer small businesses, how do we get in touch with you, Ali? What's the best way for kind of contacting you?
So email me probably, ali@ali-young-law.co.uk.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Good. Well, look, it's been super having you both on the show today. Thank you so much for coming along. And thank you to our listeners, obviously, for tuning in today. And hopefully there's been some useful advice for business owners out there as well, in terms of, taking action in their business and moving their business forward. So we will be back, as always, in a couple of weeks' time with two super guests. I believe we've got the folks from Discovery Park over in Sandwich coming on the show. So that should be really interesting to hear about everything that they're up to. But I think for now, all that remains to do is to say thank you so much for tuning in. It's been great having our guests with us today. And goodbye. Enjoy the rest of your day.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.